Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your Kachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS for 15% off. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code FITNESS.
Off the ball, GAA.
Look, at personally, I'm absolutely over the moon. Look, at I was watching Darren Hughes, Kieran Hughes, Frank Coffey, Donald Morgan, Dermot McCrudden, Nicholas Carrigan. I could name them for hours. These boys soldiered for years, didn't get to play a part in this, but they were playing a part in how we got here today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
The news round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock. We've got a great show over the next 3 hours. Absolutely packed. So first up, 7:30, Nick Winkelmann is going to join us on the line. He is the IRFU's Head of Athletic Performance and Science. So he's going to talk to us about Ireland's athletic profile in terms of speed, strength and power specific to rugby, but also it'll be of interest to people coaching in other areas of Irish sport as well. How do we get faster and stronger, basically, is the premise of his conversation. From 8 o'clock then, Hannah Scott is going to join us for a conversation. She is a Team GB rower from Coleraine. She won gold at the Paris Olympics last year, but she represented Ireland at junior level. So she put up a reel on Instagram at the start of this month explaining her identity as a proud person of Northern Ireland and how her identity is complicated. And I'm going to try and explain it to you. So as you can imagine, the reel was viewed by a fair whack of people. I would say when I went through the comments, it was unanimously positive. And she has navigated those waters very, very well indeed. So we'll have an extended chat with her from 8 o'clock. From 9 o'clock then, the football show is coming your way. Killian Phillips is going to take a call. St Mirren's Killian Phillips. Of course, they are Scottish League Cup champions over the course of the weekend. As we'll hear in the news round in a moment, he is partly responsible for sending Celtic FC into a complete tailspin over the past couple of days. Also, on the football show, we'll have Owen Doyle with us to keep an eye on everything that happens in the EFL Cup. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp message. Cameron Hill, a very good evening to you.
Owen and Owen, hello.
Yes, I mean, it is, which one was first there? Was it me or you, Owen?
I'm not quite sure. You're number one around here, Owen.
Yeah, well, very good evening to you as well.
And to you.
Yeah, did you get dinner tonight before coming on air?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Found a reason to come in.
All right,
well, you notice, yeah, if that place is closed down, you don't see me anymore.
Yes.
Simple as that.
We got sent in Lucha Libre masks last week after plugging the burrito shop next door. So we might have to go and give them a plug again tonight, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. Happy to do so.
If this is a Christmas gift for you.
What do you do with them? Like, when would you wear this?
I don't know, at home, around the place. I mean, you'd probably get good entertainment value from your kids, actually, if you were to wear that around the house.
Do the double mask. And then when they do the Scooby-Doo type unveiling, you have another mask underneath, so they still don't know who you are.
I'll bring that mask home tonight as if it's some like Christmas thing, and it'll remind me of like Ross Our Friends with the holiday armadillo.
Yeah.
Like, what's this?
I'm the Christmas luchador.
Yeah. I'll be me trying to scare the kids around the house later on.
What would your luchador name be? What would Owen Doyle the wrestler be called?
Like, okay. Yeah.
Let us know.
That's something I've thought about now, to be honest, no.
Let us know. We might read them out on air if it's not culturally insensitive to Owen Doyle or to our friends over in Pablo Picante. Our first item, as I say this evening, is a conversation with Nick Winkelmann. I might play you a quick clip here, but as I say at the top here, the conversation around, you know, are we a fast nation? Are we a slow nation? I feel that it's something where we come up against the likes of a France and the Six Nations. We see Louis Bielbarry score a hat-trick of tries and then we're wringing our hands and we're like, God, we just aren't as fast as these guys. So this is part of the premise for getting Nick Winkelmann on. We recorded it just before coming on air. Here's a quick sample of what he had to say about the speed question.
but oftentimes we're not necessarily looked at as the nation with the most all-out speedsters. But for us, interestingly enough, that's not what makes us a fast rugby team. A fast rugby team is that repeatability. And what I like to tell people is, we can't make someone fast, but we can make everybody faster. So it's about creating a culture, and we work very hard at this, Owen, where people have an appetite to run fast. They have a know-how and a confidence to run fast. They know that they've put in the work and have the fitness and the evidenced belief that they can go again and again and again and push themselves. And when we're operating in that space, that's when I feel we're playing fast in terms of rugby, but also have the capacity to be fast when that rugby opens up opportunities where ultimately becomes about athleticism. You know, it's great if you have an all-out speedster, make a line break, but if you don't have the forwards coming in for the support play, to be right there, to make the offload, bop, bop, boom, that's where the speed comes in. And I'll be honest with you, that's what we continue to focus on.
So less focus on raw power and the individual speedsters in a team and a greater focus on how fast a team actually plays. Owen, I was keen to get your thoughts on this from a football standpoint, especially because I'm not quite sure how we've judged ourselves when it comes to speed as a football nation. It feels like it's something that's really specific to rugby, and it's not exactly been the reason why Ireland has had a tough couple of decades, for example, with our national team. But is it maybe one of the factors?
You'd never really look at a team, football team, and think, oh, the whole team are really fast, or that they're a really fast team. I know you kind of always think of like, oh yeah, every team has a couple of individuals that are really rapid. Like, it's an interesting concept there, like, you know, trying to make the whole team, obviously, like speed of play and how quick you pass the ball. I'm sure all that is coming into his mindset there, and the speed of your thinking on the ball.
Yeah,
And how and your next movements and how fast you make them next movements and etc. and all that kind of carry on. But yeah, pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to listening to the full conversation with him, because like speed is everything. Like, you know, there's nothing better than having someone in your team that can carry the ball for you for long areas of the pitch.
Because it's worth considering as well what we're good at as a country at the moment, because it feels that traditionally, if we look at rugby, for example, back row forwards seems to be Ireland's strength when it comes to athletics. Maybe middle distance runners is Ireland's strength, certainly going back through the years. And is that the way it always has to be? Or is there more that we can be doing as a country to actually...
The goalkeeper for Ireland maybe would be our strongest position.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It's a good point. Goalkeeper, fullback.
Fullback, centre.
Not a whole pile of running. A goalkeeping,
no.
But the Seamus Coleman mole, not particularly fast, just can go all day and
stamina.
Just stamina. That seems to be something that maybe connects all those dots there as well.
Yeah, there's a different type of athleticism that comes with Irish sort of athletes. Going back all the way to, I think when we started out in the Olympics back in 1896, 1900, we were like pound for pound one of the fittest nations in the world, or producing athletes that were like, gosh, they are so, they're in great nick compared to, say, even some of their British counterparts. It would have been our tradition. So there is a great overall fitness, but yeah, speed is definitely something that's eluded us. I think when we talk about like the BLBRAs and the Penos of the world and Cheslin Colby, it's sharpness, isn't it? It's not just an out-and-out speed over 100 metres. It's how quickly you're able to react in certain situations. Like every BLBRA try that you watch on TikTok, there's a kick in there. There's someone putting it on their left foot and going inside and knowing where the space is and being able to react in real time very, very quickly. So the idea that we need to become suddenly speedsters over 100 metres and blitzing the track, I feel that's probably just a little bit misguided. It's actually an overall sharpness and adapting to in-game scenarios. That's something that maybe we're not quite as good at the moment. We would have been for quite a long time. I think if you look at a player like Simon Zebo, he was very good at reacting to things like that. Rob Kearney would have been too. So maybe it's something that's just been bred out of us just a touch over the last while that we can return to once we have that kind of come to Jesus moment.
Would speed been your biggest strength now, Cameron, when you're playing?
Christ, no. Jeez, no. Anyone who sees me tag rugby knows. Yeah, no, Cameron's a hard worker.
Yeah,
let's call him that.
Pure power.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Pure contact ability in a ostensibly non-contact social sport where everyone's just trying to have a good time. Cameron, stop ruining it for us.
Where were you in the speed rankings?
No, not... I wouldn't have been the slowest. Not I'd be mid-range, but I'd have been a bit of a dog, like a run all day type of person.
Okay. But relative to your teammates, have you lost it? Okay, but relative to your teammates, you would have been one of the quicker ones, I presume. And then relative to other strikers,
it would have been mid range in the team, I'd say. But long distance stuff, I'd be in the top pile. I'd be top two or three at the club.
Did you ever sit down any preseason and say to yourself, "I'm going to get fast this preseason. I'm going to get much quicker"? Did you ever go about doing that?
No, before the preseason starts. So if you were building yourself up before you go back to pre-season, you'd maybe work on a few sprints and stuff if you wanted to do that, or the sleds and that carry on. There's always speed during the pre-season. They test you early doors, obviously, in the first week or so, and one of them is the sprint test. I used to hate it. Like, you used to think I was running really fast, and you'd be getting clocked, and you're like, yeah, you're 14 down, like you're a squad of 20.
You're not a James Milner absolutely blitzing it in pre-season.
Well, that, the long distance stuff's not bad now.
Okay.
But the speed stuff, like how fast you're over 25 yards or whatever, I wasn't in that bracket, but I could go like the long distances, yeah.
Did you find that the speed training pre-season actually helped you get quicker?
No, probably not.
All your work was done as a teenager, probably, in terms of finding your max speed.
But yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah. I was just more of one of them. We could like three-quarter pace it for 90 minutes.
Okay.
No problem. Just never stand still, just three-quarter pace.
Yeah, engine. Mick has been in touch to say, we're a country of triers in football, and that only gets you so far. And you can be patronising, Mick, because you're one of us, but you know, you're a country of triers. If somebody from outside of Ireland was to say that to us, I don't think we'd be too pleased. I mean, we could be a country of triers that ends up in the World Cup next year. That's the upshot to all of that. So that's going to be our 7:30 this evening. Nick Winkelmann is going to join us on the line to chat about that. We should start with the news round, Cameron. You are starting with matters relating to football.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's all-in-one whole body shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition chocolate mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code FITNESS for 15% off.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah, the FAI has confirmed today that Lizzie Kent is the new head of women's and girls football. Kent has enjoyed coaching spells at women's Premier Division side Wexford and the Ireland women's under-19 management team in the past. She was also in charge of the Wexford Gaelic footballers for a period. A UEFA A-licence holder, she succeeds Hannah Dingley in the role and will work directly with the association's director of football, John Martin.
We could be in the money when it comes to the World Cup prize cash.
Yeah. 8.8 million winging our way if the Republic of Ireland qualify for the 2026 World Cup. An overall prize pot of €619 million has been announced today for next summer's tournament in Canada, the US and Mexico. It's a 50% increase on the money on offer at Qatar 2022. FIFA also confirmed that the winning nation will receive €42.5 million. So if the motivation wasn't high enough for the Republic of Ireland men's team winning that World Cup, you get a pretty good payday.
Yeah. What would you do with the 42.5 million if Ireland are going to win the World Cup next year on?
What would I pay if it all came to me?
Yeah, when, if you were CEO of the FAI. Like, yeah.
CEO of the FAI. That's a great question. Straight into the academies, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's pretty succinct. I think that's what most football people would say. We do have some action tonight, which we'll get to in just a moment in terms of the EFL Cup, but Celtic are actually going to be under the microscope just as much tonight, Cameron.
Yeah, a wild day at Celtic Football club, culminating with this game in Tannadice, a meeting with Dundee United in the Scottish Premiership await Wilfred's Nancy's side as he chases a first win of his tenure tonight. He's lost all three matches so far since taking over from Martin O'Neill. But Peter Lawwell is standing down as the club's chairman at the end of December because of what he calls abuse and threats, which he finds intolerable. The board at the Scottish Champions have been the target of fan protests throughout the season, following disappointing transfer business, an early Champions League exit, and falling behind in the domestic title race. Brian Wilson replace Lowell on an interim basis until a permanent successor is appointment. I could make a Beach Boys pun, but I feel that's Richie's remit, so I'll leave it to him. But Celtic's chief executive Michael Nicholson told in-house media earlier this evening, it's a sad day for the club.
It's a sad day for Celtic. I think it's sad because one of our colleagues has felt the need to stand down from his role. But it's a sad day for Celtic because of the reasons behind Peter's decision to stand down, because of the abuse and because of the threats that were directed towards him. Those are behaviours that we've seen from perhaps a very small minority of the Celtic support, but those are behaviours that are completely unacceptable. We've got most recently with a situation where three of our colleagues were assaulted at Celtic Park on Sunday night after the match. And as I say, these behaviours and conduct are completely unacceptable. For me, they're not Celtic. They don't sit with the values of Celtic supporters and the Celtic family. And as a board, it strengthens our resolve to do the right thing for Celtic and to take this club forward together for the future.
It's been a hell of a week. It seems that this is a club almost eating itself a little bit on at this point. Like every single game and every single day that goes by, the crisis seems to deepen somewhat. It's kind of got out of control very quickly here.
It's a bit strange, like, you know, it's not strange, I suppose. You know, it kind of highlights how fractious everything is there at the minute. Tough for Lawler, I assume. Like, I was reading the statement, like, he's, I think Dermot Desmond said in his piece that he's been there for 38 triumphs, so either like cup or league wins. Like, that's phenomenal. Like, over the, I think it's the 21 or 18 years as the CEO, and another three as the chairman of the board. It's remarkable, you know. And you're reading the statement, it's full of negativity regarding blaming the abuse and the fans, and it's a real shame for someone that served the club for so long to be going kind of tainted like that, if I'm kind of making that come across well enough. But there's obviously a lot of unease at the club, and it's like, listen, results will fix everything here, you know. Like, Nancy turns it on tonight and they go and win the next 6, 7, 8 games in a row, which, like, Celtic Football Club more than capable of doing. Like, things will start to potentially ease itself going to January then. They're going to, like, if they want to get the fans back on side, they have to spend a few bob. It's as simple as that. And help the new manager. So, having this January or transfer window coming up so closely, if they back them as much as the fans would like, then you'd imagine they can kind of start to kind of ease the pain there, I suppose.
Yeah.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your Kachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS for 15% off. That's Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code FITNESS.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Bad news for Liam Scales is that he's on the bench tonight for Celtic. Johnny Kenny is starting up front. I mean, he's one of the men that's definitely not benefited from Martin O'Neill not being around anymore. But I guess we were talking about this earlier in the week. Martin O'Neill said that if he'd been given the opportunity to stay on at Celtic, he would have jumped at the chance. But he's also rode in behind the manager to ensure that he gets a bit more patience. As you say, if he turns around things on the pitch and the results start going their way, then everything is fine. But when you start to see the whole club dissolving a little bit, when you're seeing people from the boardroom, I mean, maybe the fans thought it was time for Lowell to leave and this is the right outcome, but the way in which the outcome has been reached maybe isn't the best way for it to happen. It seems quite poisonous.
The lack of kind of planning around this seems like it's the straw that's breaking the camel's back for a lot of fans. I mean, it's been building for some time. I think the Green Brigade and everything that's gone around and the treatment of Celtic towards that kind of ultras group hasn't really helped, and there's been various other reasons. But even the fact, Tom English was on Off the Ball Breakfast earlier this week and made the point that, like, of the three games you'd give Wilfred Nancy to kind of ease into a tough environment midway through the season, a game against the league leaders, a Europa game against a Europa League game against Roma, and then a League Cup final, that's not an easy start to your tenure if you lose all three of those. So you're not quite dipping your toe into the water and trying to tear the script up in the easiest of circumstances there. So even that seems like, I can understand why fans would be upset with the board.
Yeah, that's an 8 o'clock kickoff at Tannadice tonight. We'll keep you up to speed on that, as we'll do with the EFL Cup. What's the situation here, Cameron?
Well, Keith Andrews will look to guide his Brentford side into the semi-finals of the EFL Cup tonight. They go away to Manchester City with kickoff at 7:30. Andrews was asked beforehand whether he'll be picking a strong side tonight.
I'm going to take the game as seriously as it should, which is quarter final of a cup competition, which is pretty special for us as a club, pretty special for me. I'll pick the team I think is right to absolutely compete to get the result that we want to get through to the semi final, and that will be some players will play certain minutes to manage that a little bit, but it will be a team that I think is right to win.
I mean, if not my first choice 11 there is the translation of that clip, which is certainly the case when you look at the team sheet.
Yeah. Caoimhín Kelleher, League Cup specialist, has been left out of the side tonight, with Håkon Valdimarsson starting in goal in place of him. Rico Henry, Christopher Ayer, Mikkel Damsgaard, Yahir Yarmolukh and Kevin Shada also into the side in 6 changes from that draw to Leeds at the weekend. Manchester City have made 7 changes to the side that beat Crystal Palace on Sunday. James Trafford in goal, Rico Lewis, Aboubakar Kouzounoff, Nathan Ake, Oscar Bob and Savinho coming into the side, while Academy star Divine Mataka starts in place of Erling Haaland.
Okay, very good. There's one other game tonight as well.
Yeah, 8:15 start at St James's Park, where last season's winners Newcastle play Fulham. Of course, they lost 1-0 to Premier League rivals Sunderland and local rivals Sunderland at the weekend. Manager Eddie Howe is hopeful that tonight's game can lift the mood after defeat in the Tyne Wear/Wear Tyne derby.
If we think it's going to be easy, and we think it's anything other than a very, very tough game, I mean, we've played Fulham already, we know their strengths, and that this will be a good challenge for us to recover from and to see where we are mentally.
Yeah, and they've gone strong enough. They've kind of gone a little bit more for this. I know they're defending champions, but you've got Johan Vissa starting for Newcastle tonight. So interesting to see how his fitness and form goes over the next couple of weeks. So he could be a big player for them. On to the Women's Champions League then, Cameron.
Well, Chelsea will qualify automatically for the quarterfinals with victory at Wolfsburg this evening. Holders Arsenal need to beat Leuven in Belgium if they're to stand any chance of securing a top four finish. They'd need other results to go their way too for that to happen. Katie McCabe starting at left back for the Gunners and Holders this evening. The same is true of Manchester United. They're away to Italian side Juventus. All of those games show 8 o'clock kickoffs, Owen.
What's your stance on the changing the team sheet for the EFL Cup, Owen? Like last night we saw the situation with Chelsea. Now they did get the win, making wholesale changes. I was kind of making the point that Chelsea should be going out to try and win this competition, but the team sheet last night probably suggested that actually they really need 3 points on Saturday, which they do, but they really are targeting the Premier League and kind of leaving this to one side. I would have thought a club like Chelsea could do with the EFL Cup this season.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah, but like the team they put out is more than capable of beating the Cardiff in League One.
Which is true.
Yeah, and
and they're not the only offender.
With a club like Chelsea where like they've got so many players, you know, you have to give them an opportunity to play at some stage. And the likes of the early stages, especially the EFL Cup. You remember Arsenal under Wenger years ago, used to only ever play the kids up to a certain point, and everyone kind of loved it because they were so young. You know, you had this like proper youth on the pitch, it was electric, it was fast, they're kind of playing this new style of football that Wenger kind of introduced, and it was good to see. And I think clubs have always gone about it that way. Obviously, when it gets later into the competition and if they're forced enough to the quarters and semis and stuff, it's like right now big boys are coming back out.
Yeah. But what about Brentford?
Premier League survival is everything. I don't think Brentford realistically are ever going to win the League Cup anyway, because one of the big boys will scrape it through and do the job, which has historically been done over the last number of years.
Just
Premier League survival, and that's it.
Isn't that just unbelievably unambitious? Keith Andrews, Wembley next February, lifting a trophy.
It would be a great day out, yeah, but yeah. Not Premier League's your bread and butter.
They are away to Wolves at the weekend as well, and maybe Wolves have shown some signs of life after their performance at the Emirates at the weekend, and Brentford away from home have been pretty poor all season, so that is a huge game for them in the Premier League this weekend. You're moving on to cricket.
Controversy at the Ashes today, Owen. The owner of the Snicko technology has taken full responsibility for a mistake in the third test in Adelaide today. Australian centurion Alex Carey admitted he thought he edged a ball to England wicketkeeper Jamie Smith when he was on 72, but he was given a not out on review because of the audio and TV images being out of sync. He went on to record 106 today as Australia closed play with 326 runs for the loss of 8 wickets. So a pretty crucial error.
I presume as somebody who spent many years in England, you were keeping close eye on the Ashes.
I'd rather watch the telly off,
right?
If I'm being honest with you.
No, I thought I'd have you down as somebody getting up at 2 a.m. in the morning watching every single ball, no?
Yeah. No, there used to be a few lads coming into the dressing room, they'd be mad for it, and they'd be turning off the football to watch it, like there could be highlights or something in the training ground, there'd be murder.
Do you ever try and get into it?
Play 50-50 split in the dressing room over it. Like, it's either you love it or you hate it.
Okay.
You know, it was always like that. No.
Why not?
I'm one man sport. One sport man?
You're a one man sport man. Right?
And you don't want to broaden your horizons in any capacity, no?
So it was time for that.
That can't be done. Okay, fair enough.
You're about to get into lucha wrestling. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, true.
Can't do that.
The holiday wrestler.
Well, let's get your thoughts on this tennis news that Cameron has for us.
6-time Grand Slam winner Carlos Alcaraz has split with his coach Juan Carlos Ferrero. The 22-year-old has worked with his fellow Spaniard since he was a teenager, but the shock announcement was made today. Neither Alcaraz nor Ferrero has given a reason for the split. The world number one has not yet outlined if he plans to replace Ferrero. Potentially, I would suggest Andy Murray might be in the mix to come in there.
That'd be an interesting collaboration.
Playing golf.
Can you be a tennis player without a coach? Does anyone do that?
It's very tricky. It's very, very tricky to do.
Would you have to be a complete egomaniac? You'd come across a complete egomaniac.
Absolutely.
So you just do it yourself.
So in the last couple of years, they've changed how coaches are allowed to interact with the players during matches. It used to be that you couldn't really, you would be given a sanction if you were being coached on court, say at a Grand Slam at Wimbledon, if a coach was telling you, by the way, target his backhand, that's how to get there. But now that's kind of changed. So the player-coach dynamic in game, in match, has become much more important in tennis. I think like Andy Murray was working with Novak Djokovic this year, and Djokovic, certainly in the early days, was giving him a lot of credit for sparking him during the Australian Open, but that relationship seems to have deteriorated over time. But you do need someone in your corner kind of backing you and picking out parts of your game, because, you know, they go on for 3 or 4 hours at a time. You're not going to be able to watch a load of game tape back.
Will you give us the AFL news today? Massive news for Colin O'Riordan and for Irish coaches down under in general.
Yeah, Colin O'Riordan has been appointed as the new senior head coach of the Sydney Swans AFLW side, a former Tipperary footballer. O'Riordan won a Munster title with his native county back in 2020. He has been involved with Sydney since 2015, but has struggled with injuries in recent years and then retired in 2022. He's the first Irish man to be appointed as a senior coach in the history of the AFL, both in men's and women's.
There was no darts today, by the way, but there is an evening session which myself and Owen will keep you up to speed on throughout the evening. Darts, do it for you, no?
No.
What?
Surely you've at least attempted this one. Like, I can understand your reluctance to throw on the cricket on TV.
You mean of a trowel?
No, to just put it on TV.
No. If I was out having a pint and it was on, you'd be like, oh, it looks a bit of a laugh.
Did you get drawn into it?
No.
Really, I can't believe you've been in here this long and I've only just discovered that you've got no other sporting interests.
No, I'd have a small interest in hurling.
Okay,
right. But that's about it.
I think that's the text line tonight.
And golf, like, I'd watch the big golf tournaments.
Okay, so you do have other interests. Yeah. You are versatile.
Right.
Well, that's just, like, broad now. I wouldn't be able to, if you asked me a question about either of them sports, I'd really struggle to answer.
Where'd you all learn hurling champions?
Yeah, you're throwing me here big time.
Listeners should send their pitches into Owen, sell the sport to them and maybe he'll watch.
Yeah. 087-9180-180 is that number if you want to get us on WhatsApp. Nick Winkelmann, and that conversation is coming up after the break.
Off the Ball Daily.